Are you having problems generating good planned giving leads? It may be because you're using outdated strategies that today just aren't working very well. In today's podcast, our Director of Planned Giving Services, Robert Chaffis, joins me in talking about how you can be effective in generating quality planned giving leads, what the latest strategies are that are actually effective, and then what to do with them when you bring in all those new leads, whether you're a small, medium, or large organization. Lead generation is changing. Find out what's working.
Welcome to the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group, featuring Richard Perry and Jeff Schreifels. Twice a month, we bring you the latest and best thinking about major gift fundraising, so you can develop authentic relationships with your major donors. Here are your hosts, Richard and Jeff.
Welcome to the podcast today. I'm Jeff Schreifels, and today Richard is off, but I have a great guest with me, our own Robert Chaffis, who is our Director of Planned Giving Services. And today we're going to talk about how you can actually get planned giving leads for your organization. Bob, welcome.
Hey, Jeff. Great to be here. I'm really excited to talk about this subject today because I really believe we need to rethink how nonprofits create planned giving leads. I mean, I've been on this podcast several times and we've discussed what a good planned giving program looks like, how it should be staffed, how it should be managed. But you know, if you're not creating good leads, none of that's going to make any difference.
I know, I agree. Now, you just said something there. You said that we need to rethink how nonprofits create these leads. Why is that?
Well, frankly, it's because the old ways of developing planned giving leads just aren't working the way they used to. For years, nonprofits have relied on leads that come through things like a checkbox and a direct mail piece, a special planned giving newsletter, passing out brochures ad nauseum, and other tactics. And a lot of these have just become less and less productive as the years have gone by. Now, I'm not saying hard copy never has a role in a planned giving marketing effort,
okay,
but it's become less effective over the years.
Okay.
And I've seen that myself because when I started doing planned giving in the 1980s, that's all we had. You know,
right.
you had letters, you had newsletters, you had buck slips, we called them, had checkoff boxes that you put in receipts.
Yeah.
But those things have just become less effective over the years. And another thing that's become less effective over the years, for a variety of reasons, is seminars. Estate planning seminars, planned giving seminars have become less and less effective.
Yeah.
And the creation of websites has been a real boon to a lot of organizations. But if the website is completely passive, I mean, it's just sitting there and you're not driving people towards it. You know, the key word here is passive, and it's not necessarily generating the type of prospects that are really good qualified plan giving prospects.
Yep.
Yeah. Email has also been a thing that's really become more and more important. But everybody who gets email has a computer, and that computer has a delete key. And, you know, one of the things that you have to look at very carefully is whether or not your email blasts are really getting through to the people that you want and whether they're generating any responses. And brochures, you know, how many times have I walked into a planned giving office and seen piles and piles of brochures on charitable remainder trusts or pooled income funds or some other type of obscure gift? It really applies to a vanishingly small number of your donors.
Right. Okay, so I get it. So the hard copy, direct mail, the estate planning, the planned giving seminars, the passive websites, email blasts to everyone, and all these different brochures, they're all waning. These might have done well at some point in time, but they're going away. So how has lead generation started to shift then? Where is it going?
Well, in a lot of ways, it's shifted along with the society as a whole, moving more to digital platforms, more digitally focused. Here's some of the new ways leads are being generated for planned giving programs. For example, social media. We didn't have social media 15 years ago, but now posts, ads, other things on social media have become a really good way to get to certain segments of your donor base and potential donor base. So that's one way of really working with it.
Yeah.
Another is to use search ads that drive people to a landing page on your website. So yeah, you want to make sure that you're getting that message out to people who are looking for things that relate to the very things that your organization does.
Right.
Now, like I said, there's still a role for hard copy in some things, but the yeah, thing that has really changed the plan giving lead generation cycle for me has been e-surveys.
Okay.
The use of email-based survey processes to get to your donors and ask them their opinions about the organization and about what it does and about their interest in it. And then actually getting to some questions that are very plan giving specific. Have you remembered this organization in your plans?
Right.
That's something you intend to do. Would you like us to give you more information about that? Would you like a tour of our facility?
Right.
And this has really become the thing that has really changed the game for a lot of organizations. I mean, if you look at what a newsletter produces, you might get, oh, let's say, 5 responses, 10 responses, 15 responses.
Yeah.
Some of these e-surveys are generating dozens and dozens of responses to the point wow, where it almost becomes as much a difficulty as a benefit.
Yeah.
Because you want to make sure that you can get to all the people that you're generating.
Well, that's a big point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to disappoint the people who have indicated they have some interest in doing something.
Exactly.
So in kind of a related issue, there are now several will creation websites where you can create a will for free or for a relatively low cost. And some of those websites are working with charities, helping their donors go to those websites, create a will or other estate plan for free or for a very low cost, and then actually be prompted at a certain point to say, hey, would you like to remember a charity in your estate plans? And incidentally, here are some charities that are working with this organ, this website. And so that's been something that has really been both positive and negative. There are a lot of really good stories that come out of these will creation sites, but there's also not a few organizations whose lawyers and the like have some issues with it. And maybe we'll talk about that more in a moment or two.
Yeah.
And then remember how I was talking about how seminars are yeah, less and less productive?
Yeah.
One thing that some organizations have had some effectiveness with is not having a seminar per se, but rather picking a subject, let's say charitable gift annuities, and then asking some of their key prospects for charitable gift annuities to work with them in a focus group setting to
right,
talk about what they think about this idea.
Right.
And that actually becomes a very effective way to communicate the idea to the very people that you want to consider this as an option.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Now, so these are all these new ideas, but what does the nonprofit, what should they be mindful around each of these strategies? Because they're new, but they might not be for everyone. But so what do we need to look out for?
Yeah. Well, one of the things is, remember I mentioned that a website is passive, is often yeah, passive and is yeah, less effective. If you're using social media posts, if you're using email and survey techniques, what you want to do is actually help people get to the website, have a link that they can just click on.
Yeah.
Because just having a landing page isn't enough. And if you think about it, go to your website later today and try and find where you have the plan giving information and try and put yourself in the position of a donor coming to the website saying, gee, I'd like to figure out more about how I could remember this organization in my plans.
Right.
A lot of times you're going to find it so buried in your website that it's almost impossible to find. So think in terms of that.
Yeah. Put it out.
Yeah. Put it out there. And I mentioned the will creation sites. They have their benefits. You should proceed with caution. I probably wouldn't want to have an organization work with one of these sites without an opinion from their own counsel.
Okay.
About the wisdom of using it with their donor base. You know, one of the things about estate planning, Jeff, is that it really is still a state by state thing.
Yeah.
Every state has its own rules on wills. Some states have radically different ownership schemes, right, even between spouses. So you want to make sure that the will site really does work well, and you feel that it's safe for your donors and for your organization.
Right.
And then, you know, I mentioned a few moments ago about getting all these leads from a survey process. Before you do the marketing effort, you should have a plan on what you're going to do with these leads. You should have, you know, your responses pre-written, a plan on how you're going to get to these individuals. Because if the worst thing you can have is suddenly have, you know, 25 new prospects on Monday morning who weren't there on Friday afternoon, and they're just going to sit there. You don't want that to happen.
That would be the worst thing, right? You could bring in all these leads and you're thinking, oh, this is great. But if you can't follow up within a reasonable amount of time, like 24 hours, 48 hours at the most, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. But if you pre-plan everything, once you get those names, you can go ahead and respond to them very quickly. And make sure then you know when you're going to get back to them and see, hey, did you get the information? What did you think? Was it helpful? Can I offer some more assistance for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Bob, now I want to talk about different types of organizations. So if you're a small organization and we have a lot of folks who listen to this podcast, read our blogs that are from very small organizations, what would your advice be to help that organization get started with new leads? And what would that strategy, what would it take?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to kind of step back and say, okay, let's go ahead and plan for how we're going to market for plan giving leads in the next 12 months.
Yeah.
And can we do stuff with social media? Do we have something on our website? How are we going to drive people to the website? How are we going to get people to respond to social media opportunities?
Yeah.
A smaller organization is probably not the best place to utilize these e-survey processes. Those tend to work for medium to larger organizations.
Yeah.
But if you kind of map out a plan, and hopefully if you don't have a legacy society, you would consider creating one, because one of the ways to get people involved in a plan giving program in a smaller organization is to have a legacy society, which does not have to be huge. If you can get 15 to 25, you know, charter members of a legacy society, that is a great start for a smaller organization. And it really puts you on the road of making sure that this is part of your organization's fundraising as you go forward.
Yeah. Now, what if you're an established larger organizations whose the leads have just dried up? What would you do right now? So if someone's listening, what actions should they be taking?
Well, I would try to see if there's a way of, first of all, determining what isn't working. Is it your newsletter? Is it your hard copy? Is it your email? Are you doing something different? Or is it just the fact of what we were talking about earlier, that a lot of the old ways of doing things have become less and less productive?
Yeah.
This is the type of situation where I would consider looking at whether an e-survey process might work well for this organization, because it's going to do several things. It's going to help people self-identify that they've already done something.
Right.
And it's going to get people to say, yes, I would like more information, or I intend to do this. And, you know, I keep saying that hard copy is still part of the mix. You know, I would look at not only why things have dried up. Yeah. But I would also put together a 12-month marketing plan that mixes in the possibility of doing e-surveys, social media posts, focus groups, as well as a hard copy newsletter and maybe some hard copy mail, just to mix it up and to try to get to all the segments within the organization.
Yeah. Good strategy. Bob, I think the listeners got a lot of good ideas today, whether they're working for a large or a small nonprofit. So thank you for being with us today. And before we go, I wanted to let you know about a course coming up starting September 27th called Plan Giving Principles for Every Fundraiser's Success. We've received incredible reviews on this course, and we'd love for you to join us. All you have to do is go to veritasgroup.com and hit our training tab, and you'll see it right there. Well, Bob, thanks again for being here with me. And to you that is listening, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group. Richard and Jeff also write an ongoing blog that you can subscribe to for free at veritasgroup.com. Please join us again next time.